The name of today's message, based on Parashat Vayetzeh, is that obedience brings a reward. Obedience brings a reward. The key scripture comes from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. First part of verse 22, where it says, "Does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As in obeying the voice of Adonai?" So it really goes along with what Elder Sam shared at the beginning. Is the Lord interested in our sacrifices? Is he really interested in what we do and what we offer and all those things? That's what it is, right? But this is what King Saul was told. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than anything you can give me, anything you can do, you can muster up. To obey, what I'm looking for, Adonai is looking for, what Jehovah is looking for, Yah Adonai. He's looking for obedience. From the beginning, it hasn't changed." And I love this verse. I love that verse. It's because we are called to obedience. We're called to obedience to Yah Adonai. And Scripture makes it clear that obedience is the best thing we can do. It's the best thing we can give Him, to obey His word. I believe that as far as we're concerned here in this congregation of mine, we are prepared to obey. That's what I can say in general. This congregation is ready to obey the Lord. But what is often hidden from that obedience, because it's not rote obedience and it's just like robots and whatever, is that He responds to that obedience. And He responds to that obedience by always bringing a reward. Something you didn't expect. Something beyond anything you could do or imagine. That's how it works. Last week, I'm going to dovetail a little bit to last week. In last week's message on Parashat Toldot, we saw that Esau disregarded his parents' admonition. His parents did not want him to marry any Hittite women. The Hittites were in the land they were dwelling in, and they're not believers of Adonai. However, Esau was only concerned with himself. He suffered from a disease that I think a lot of us have. It's called self-centeredness. It's about me. It's about what I want to do. And we also, in this country, it's not true of every country, because not every country has the lavishness and things that we do here in the United States. So we think that the whole world is like this. Well, it's not quite that way. But at least in the United States, okay, we're very much concerned with the things that bring us satisfaction. So the song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction," it applies to us, even though it's from 1965, when I first came to this country. Here we have another biblical example of something that's true. I'm so glad that your family's here, Daniel, because I always want to speak to the children a little bit. And now it's grandchildren. Hear the following that is true, children. Children tend to indulge in the things, okay, that the world has to offer. Usually using the resources at the expense of the parents. There's a tendency in children, if you don't fix it, then it's an adult problem. Okay? We would tend to indulge in the things that the world has to offer. Let somebody else pay the bill. You wouldn't think that'd be true in a congregation. Okay? But the only way to actually properly take care of using the toilet and all those things would be to have a, like in Europe, somebody collecting a shekel, except it's not a shekel, it's a, you know, it's a much more expensive euro. You pay a euro or two, if depending on what you want to do in the bathroom, just to get in. That's how it is in Europe, all of Europe. But this usually is at the expense of the parents. Here's a word to parents. This is a reminder of the saying that what the parents allow in moderation, their children will excuse in excess. So, if you take that to heart, at some point you will grow up and have your own children and so on, and you'll come in and say, "Dad, I understand," or "Mom, I understand. I understand that it just can't be the way they want it all the time. That there has to be rules and there has to be things like that. And that we can't really allow, parents cannot allow excesses. If you allow excesses in your children, okay, if you allow them in moderation, okay, well, they're going to stay moderate. So we're just going to watch this TV for an hour, and that's all it's going to be. And the next thing you know, the TV never gets turned off. So for some of us, and I'm not speaking to a void here, because I see one of our sons with his family, that they follow the same kind of idea. We don't need TV. We got each other. We got the Lord. We can do all those things. We don't need somebody to entertain us. We can entertain ourselves together. It may sound very strange to some of you. But like I said, there are some people here who follow the same pattern that we did with our children. Here's the truth of what we're seeing today's parashat. Isaac is old. He's old. But he's not dead yet. There's a tendency to think that Isaac is so old and so done with that this happens with Jacob and Isaac dies. No, he doesn't die then. He doesn't die until Jacob has all those children and until Joseph is in Egypt. That's a bunch of years later. Some of you maybe are looking forward to my kicking the bucket real soon. And I'm here to remind you that I don't control that. I'm just getting ready to become like Moses, ready at 80. I have 4 more years of that. In fact, he will live so many more years that it's unbelievable. So the question becomes here, what old parent, if you think he's really, really old, what old parent would send away one of his two sons in his latter years? Who's going to take out the garbage? I mean, who's going to fix the tractor? Who's going to put oil in the car? These are the things that sons, especially sons, so I'm from that perspective, if you train your sons well, they also do laundry. Oh, come on now. Yes, they do. They do laundry and they iron and all those things. It may turn out that you have a wonderful lady that maybe does all those things for you. And my son has a lady like that, but he still does it. He still does it. The thought that what's different? Why is Isaac going to let him go? Did Jacob go? Because this is true of them, these parents. The thought of having more behavior from Jacob, like what Esau is doing, would eventually kill them anyway. It would result, okay? Not only Rebecca says it, in the parashat. I'm sick and tired of Hittite women. Okay? And do you suppose that Esau is paying attention to mom? I mean, what son does, right? Like, well, we're raising a different generation. So, Ashley, yours are going to pay attention to you. Praise God. And Daniel, yours are going to pay attention to you. But let me tell you something. If Rebecca, who's 20 years younger, is going to just die. She's almost said that in the scripture. It's just going to kill me. Well, what about Isaac? He's depending on Rebecca. This is a latter part of his life. It would kill him too. So, he agrees with his wife that that cannot happen. He agrees that that is not consistent with what Adonai has in store for the godly seed. It is not what he was told to Abraham. And this is his son of promise, Isaac. And now it's got to go to the next generation. What we find here is the following, and I elucidated this last week. We see that Jacob, who is not, as Elder Sam said, and I said it last week, he hadn't won any awards for being a great guy. His name, Heel, the name in English, he's a heel, the deceiver. He likes to wrestle, he likes to cook, and all that kind of thing. But he hasn't lived a wonderful gold medal kind of life. He's just, you know, he's just getting started. And he ain't doing so well. Notice the following, though. That even though his life hasn't been a bowl of cherries, or a lentil soup. It hasn't been at this point. Things are not going well. His brother wants to kill him. He obeys his mom and deceives the dad. I mean, so he trusts dad so much. He trusts him to make the right decision. Well, Rebecca didn't, and she put Jacob up to it. And being the heel that he is, he was really good at doing it. However, he has this thing. When Adonai speaks through his parents, he obeys immediately. Little does he know that one thing, to obey them immediately, it's going to change everything. Last week I alluded to that. He has to leave from where they live. They live in the southern part of Israel. They lived in the corner of the desert. They lived near where Beersheba would be. Okay? And he doesn't have an Uber to get to Laban's territory. There's no taxi. He doesn't own any camels. Sheep do not like to be ridden. Okay? And the sons are not going to, you know, his brother's not going to take him. How is Jacob going to get from Beersheba to Laban's home? He's going to do good old-fashioned walk. Walk a mile in my shoes. Okay, he's going to walk a mile. Which way does he have to go? He has to go north and he has to go to the right, which means that he's going through Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, that is a day's journey from Beersheba by foot. When he gets there, he's tired. As the sun set, he's not really staying in the city because he doesn't have a Marriott card and he can't stay at the latest Marriott or et cetera, okay? And it's not tabernacles where everybody welcomes people in. He got no place to stay, so he keeps on walking. He walks about on the vicinity of 10 miles north of the city. And he gets there at night. He can't go anymore at night. And he lays his head down. But before then, he's thirsty. And there is no refrigerator with it on it. And he didn't carry any bottled water with him. So, you see, maybe you didn't notice that he goes to a place that he's familiar with. His parents have been there. There's a well there. And usually to uncap a well, it takes a very strong person. He's able to do that himself. Takes a stone that was the cap of the well, lays it down, and takes a nap. When I was in the military, getting ready to go to Vietnam, and at any point during the training, they said, break time. We headed for under a tree someplace. And if you didn't have anything else to lay your hand on, you lay your head on your metal cap. How can anybody sleep like that? When you're 16 years old, 17 years old, you'll sleep anywhere. And if you're in the military, you sleep anywhere. If you got to get some sleep before you go to the next day, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be soft. There's no REI that he could go and get equipment to camp or any such thing. So he camped there, and sure enough, something happens. He discovers, as our Bible study teacher did, showed us today, they read that he got to that place. He lays his head down. They didn't say what place it is, but the actual name of the place is Bethel. 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 The house of God. Okay? And he has a dream, and he sees the juncture. See, this is what I can do when I listen to the Bible study. I can bring it in and tie it together. At the juncture of heaven and earth, he's seeing it. He's seeing the angels are going down and up and down the ladder. Sulam Yaakov. But at the top is the Almighty. At the top is the Almighty. Now, wait a minute. The Almighty is here. Jacob says in the parasha, surely this is Bethel. That place is called Bethel. It originally called Luz. Luz in Spanish means light. Okay? So originally called Luz. And then it has another name, but eventually called Bethel. It's not the first time. It's not the last time. You're going to hear that when you read the Torah. Not the first, not the last time. But what I picked up last week, and that's where I was last week at the end, is that he just arrived in the house of God. Like you just come to the house of God. I love to say my house is the house of God. We want it to be. We want it to be, okay? But sometimes it's chaos in my house. Okay. How do you get chaos with two people? Well, we used to have a cat, and that was chaos. Now there is no cat, so the chaos is the neighbor. So it doesn't matter, there's chaos. My house can't be the house of God, but this is the house of God. We have come to Bethel. In fact, the original name of this congregation was Bethphilah. Bethphilah Kol Simcha. Okay? House of Prayer of Kol Simcha. And then we dropped the Bethphilah and just kept Kol Simcha. Way back when. Long, long time ago. But when you come to Bethel, do you have an expectation? That's where I ended last week. Do you have an expectation? Is it possible anything could happen? Look, the heel guy, the bad news guy, he's going there and he's going there. And why are you doing this? Because mom told me to. I'm mom? Oh no, dad told me to, but she told him. My parents said that I got to do this. And why are you doing it? What do you want me to do? Stay there and get killed? He can't do anything. The parents basically say, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. You know, hit the road. So he hits the road. He's obeying the parents. How much is he carrying with him? There's no cell service where he's going, so forget it. So don't even take that. He's got nothing. He left it all behind. That's his past. By the way, that's his reputation. That's who he is. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Or does he? Oh, what did dad and mom say? Well, they also said these other things. I read it last week. Let's read it again this week. Isaac calls Jacob in to send him away. Verse 1 of chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him, and commanded him and said to him, do not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, from the Hittites. Get up and go. Recognize that? That's lech lecha. Lech lecha, get yourself up and go. Lech lecha. So imagine for a moment, Isaac is getting the same call as his father. Same call, same words in the Hebrew. Okay? Go to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take for yourself a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Verse 3, listen carefully. I'm going to analyze this in a minute. Now may El Shaddai bless you. El Shaddai is the Almighty. Bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you will become an assembly of peoples. Sam talked about that today as well. And may he give you the blessing of Abraham. You know, he didn't say the blessing of Isaac. That to you and your seed, so that you may take possession of the land of your sojourn, which God gave to Abraham. Let me analyze that in detail. May El Shaddai, the Almighty, bless you. Who's talking here? Who's going to do the blessing? Jacob? Isaac? Abraham? Who's going to do the blessing? The Almighty. What? Is there anything the Almighty can't do? Notice the choice of words here. The Almighty, you can do everything, may be the one who's going to give you, because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 32, nothing is too difficult for thee. We know that song. Nothing is too difficult for thee, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is impossible with thee. That's the one. He can do everything. The deal is he going to do it for Jacob? The blessing was, may Adonai do this. What Jacob has to figure out is, oh, that's us. We got to figure that out too. Is he going to do it for us? It's nice that you said that, Dad. But where's the proof? It's what's up front that counts, like in a Kent cigarette. Number 2, he says, may he make you fruitful and multiply you. In other words, Jacob was going to have many male children, is what that means. But he doesn't have a wife. He ain't got one yet. Don't know if she can give birth or not. They haven't discussed yet with a new wife how many. Ooh. Rabbit trail. In this country, we think that's left up to us. In this country, we think that that's a decision we make. In this country, that you're in this country, I think. In this country, it's expected that you and your wife sit down and discuss how many. But that's not what it says in the Bible. In Psalm 126, it says, "Behold, children are an inheritance of Adonai, and the fruit of the womb his reward." Looking around, you say, "Well, how about you, Rabbi, and your wife?" We gave it back to him, and she stopped ovulating. That's how it worked out. We have 4 miscarriages and 2 live ones. And then gave it to the Lord. And she got pregnant one last time, lost the baby, and when that baby was lost, her thing stopped working. You know what? Lord, not my fault. We gave it to you. On the other hand, Daniel and his wife, how many do you have, actually? Okay. Well, it's not 2, okay? Or it's 1 point something like in China, right? In China, it's really 1. The point something doesn't matter. Okay, back to this and out of the rabbit trail. You will become an assembly, a congregation of peoples. Manahaim. Okay? You will become an assembly. Okay, that sounds like a few. Like you're on the way to, you got a half assembly. If the full assembly is the children of Jacob, that was 12. Okay? I'm not going to say anymore. You can relax. I ain't saying a word. Please notice that Jacob receives the Abrahamic blessing. That was spoken to Abraham. You will be a father of many nations. Okay? Isaac is not going to be the father of many nations. Only through Isaac. Only through Jacob. Because he only had 2. So, the promised seed is not coming through Hittite women. Okay, so there's this idea that perhaps through this wife, which is from the same place as Sarah comes from, that there would be able to be a lot. And in fact, you keep reading in today's parashat, and he gets BOGO. There was a BOGO program going on and he got two. He wanted Rachel, he got Leah, he complained, and he got Rachel too. It is wrong for you to imagine that he worked 7 years and then he got Rachel. That's not the deal. The deal is he got them both. But he still had to work the 7 years. And then plus 7, and then, et cetera, all that. So Jacob is going to be the father of many nations. And he's going to possess the land of Israel. What? That was what was given to Abraham. Jacob is like really counting on that. That's foremost in his mind, right? Like, Dad, could you have blessed me with some money? Could you have blessed me with some camels? I mean, there's all these things that sons and daughters want to say to their parents. Why do you have to bless me like that? He's getting blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Okay? And he probably knows, okay, so that's my grandpa's blessing. Why are you giving it to me? I'm not so sure I wanted this. Let me continue. On the other hand, Esau, his brother. The scripture says, when he saw that Jacob obeyed his father and mother. Verse 7. When Esau saw that Jacob obeyed mom and dad in a despicable and contemptible way, Esau, and the Bible says that. Let me quote it from you. Then Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan were contemptible in his father's Isaac's eyes. So it's like, all right. So you're still giving Jacob something. You shouldn't give him nothing. He's a heel. As far as Esau is concerned, he needs to be dead. But he's getting the Abrahamic blessing placed on him, not on Esau. This is not the birthright thing, okay? Come on now. The birthright thing already happened. He's getting the Abrahamic thing. And he didn't like it anymore. He is really ticked off as his parents. Both. Not just mom, but mom and dad. That sounds like some of us at age 18, 19, 20. Oh, there are no rebels here. This is a congregation of, I beg your pardon. Ain't none perfect here. Starting with the rabbi. We're all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So what did Esau do? Look at what he did. He took for himself an additional wife. And since you didn't want the Hittites, I'm going to get one from Ishmael. Boy, I have time. I could take some time to talk about this. Esau is very Middle Eastern. And his wife is from the Arab nations, the other side of Abraham. Okay? So if you're not going to give me this side, I'm going to get my own side. And I'm going to say that I'm entitled better than you, buddy. That's what's in his mind. What is the correct action for Esau? He would have been to obey mom and dad a long time ago. But even when mom and dad point out that the Bible makes it clear, Rebekah is saying these things to Isaac. I can't stand it that this continues to happen. They're all over my house. And she wants it to stop. What would be Esau's correct action? Stop! No? This is the kids don't stop. You guys don't stop. And you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And at some point, mom goes, stop it! I know your mom just says, stop it, and nothing happened. But the way my mom said, stop it, she'd pick up something and throw it. And she could aim really good. Okay, so he's not paying attention to any of that. Evidently, he doesn't know anything about the Ten Commandments. Where it says, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long upon the land which Adonai is giving you. That's in Exodus 20:12. Nor has he read the book of Galatians. Honor your father and mother. Or Ephesians. Which is the first commandment with a promise. So that it may be well with you, may live long on the earth. Sounds like the same thing. That's in Ephesians 6:2-3. However, Jacob, he was all about obeying. I said last week, Jacob was not all that happy about any of this. So he obeyed. But it's kind of the way a lot of us obeyed mom and dad. I'll show you. It's called grudgingly. I'm being nice. Because the scripture, okay, it appears all he did was comply. Ooh, what is there a difference between obedience and compliance? He complied with his dad because the verse indicates that he was sent away. It wasn't even left to Jacob. I think it's a great idea if you go do this. Instead, I'm commanding you, get out. Okay? He was sent away. It wasn't of his own volition. This is not obedience out of your own heart. This is do it or else. This is when mom tells dad, and dad comes in and said, not in front of mom. But dad doesn't want mom to look right now. Stay over there, mom. And if it's the boy, the oldest boy, he might come in and just go, you hear you, mom? You're not going to do that with the smallest girl or with the youngest boy. But with a girl, he might say something like, I don't think it's a good idea for you to get your mom riled up. I want you to know that if mom gets riled up, I get riled up, and I got one of these. Is that kind of like clear? That's all in today's parashah. I'm setting it up. It's 12:23, and I'm on time. What happened in today's parashah is that the blessing that Jacob received from his parents when he decided to obey and did it, he's doing it. He may not like it. It's not what he wants to do. It doesn't really matter. He's obeying the word of his parents, which is the word of the Lord. And because he obeys the word of the Lord, things are going to change. He just arrived in Bethel. Things are going to change. Things are going to change in Bethel. While Jacob is sad, leaving everything he owns, he's leaving his friends. I mean, that's the young people. My friends. You know what? I have one friend from high school. I forgot about him, but he texted me Thanksgiving. He leaves his home, parents, family, wealth, and comfort. And he's going to do that. And he sees in this parashat, Adonai, the real Adonai. Okay, this is not carbon copy. This is the real McCoy sitting on top of the dead-gum ladder. And he's speaking. And he said, Jacob. And he repeats exactly what Isaac said. What? Okay. This has got to be the house of God. The last time I got this same words, it was at the house of Isaac. But now I'm getting it straight from the horse's mouth. And would you like to read the Bible and see how different it is from what Isaac said? I don't want to take the time. I'll leave you some homework. It's the same thing, by the way. Jacob's obedience to his parents is going to bring something to him. He doesn't know yet. He's got another 2 days journey, maybe 3 days. And when he gets there, this is almost like a deja vu. It's like he gets there, and I don't know how much he knows that Eleazar, what Eleazar when he got there, what happened. I don't know if he knows, but if you're an astute reader, you go, oh my goodness, this is the same setup as Eleazar. This is the same setup of the I'm just arrived. I'm coming from the Abraham's house, and I'm looking for a wife. To which that family would go, another one? We just did this with your dad 20, 30 years ago. So, Jacob uncaps the well. He's good at that. Pretty strong, huh? And the maiden goes to get water. And the maiden's name is Rachel. And when Jacob lays good eyes on her, he does what every man does when he sees the woman of, like, Now, let me back up the clock to the days of pot. There's some pot smokers here. What was it that? Let me hear that. Whoever said that, say it again. You said it just right. There you go. I remember when I ran into her. She was sitting on a desk. They sent me to go get payroll. So I'm standing for payroll. And I hand her the card. And she grabs the card from me and I'm going, wow. I didn't say no more. I'm an engineer. You don't say much. Not about talking, what about doing? I needed to get out of there. I've seen a mirage. Such a woman doesn't exist. At that moment, I forgot what I came to do. I forgot what I was going to. I assure you, that's exactly what happens to Jacob. He sees the woman of his life. By the way, she was kind of pretty anyway. And he's like, wow. Do you think he's thinking about Esau? Do you think he's thinking about Isaac? Do you think he's thinking of, what is it, God? Come on, guys, you have been married. Go back to the beginning when you first realized she's the one. What was your attitude? Maybe it's later in life. It's okay. For me, it was later in life. Wow. What was I doing here? I went silent. I didn't say another word. I just stood there like, and she started talking, and sign here, and blah, blah, handed me the card. So he gets a wife. But it was a Publix bongo day. So he got two wives. I mean, chocolate one night and vanilla another night. All right. However, I don't know how they worked that out. He just kind of like, I'm going to bed. Whichever one of you is going to join me tonight. Okay. Because I doubt seriously he got involved. Don't you know you don't get involved with your wife and her sister? And it's that way for either one, the wife and the sister. No. Just whoever shows up. They're not coming together, by the way. No, right? I mean, I'm so glad that you're here. All right, so I believe that right away, Jacob is forgotten all about what's been happening. Nobody knows who he is. It's like when I showed up at Auburn University. I was treated like a child of a king because I came from UF. Yeah, I was in Auburn, Alabama. I was treated nicely. How did they treat you in Gainesville? Adonai gives him, begins to give him right away the wife, the first component to a family, to having a bunch of kids and having a multitude, etc. And when that happens, all the guy can say is, Gene, wow. Come on, Gene, you said that already. Do it again. Yeah, your wife's right there. Look at her and do it. Wow, that's right. I believe the same thing is true today. You people are the sons and daughters of great promise. And if you will obey the word of the Lord, if that will become your focus to obey the word of the Lord, whether it comes from the mouth of Elder Sam or Elder John or Rabbi Tony whatever. It doesn't really matter. From Rebitson, from Pat, from Dr. Shaporkin. Whenever the word of God comes, you take it, treasure it, and do it. Do those righteous instructions. But in this case, it was the parents' instructions. Got a secret for you guys. You want to have it all you want? All of you six. Are you six? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All six of you obey the righteous instructions of your parents, and all things will happen good for you. I want to finish by reading the following that I wrote. Adonai's will is not hidden from us. You don't have to guess anymore about what he wants. What does he want from you? It's real simple. It's encapsulated in one word. The one word he's interested in is called Shema. Called Shema. That's what he's interested in. What does Shema mean? It doesn't mean to hear. It means to prove that you heard by doing what you said. To prove that you heard by doing what was said. That's real obedience. That's what the Lord's talking about in that scripture. To obey, that kind of obedience is better than anything in the world. Unlike our forefathers who were hearing all these kinds of things for the first time, you have an advantage. You have American Airlines Advantage program. Okay? And you have AA Vantage. You have that because you can see that his stuff is written in those books. That's called the Torah. We've got it. We can read it. We can study it. And we're doing that. Unlike our forefathers that heard those words for the first time, they're written for us. You can hear them over and over and over again. You don't need to be deceived or be a deceiver anymore. Because you can do it according to what's in the book. Sanctify you then by your truth. By your truth, your word is truth. The priestly prayer in John 17. These are not my words. Actually, these are not even my parents' words. These are Adonai's words. Scripture has given us the benefit of having an absolutely reliable roadmap. Absolutely reliable TomTom. That's where they came originally. Okay? You can put one of those in the car, the TomTom, go in places. That wasn't that long ago. You're looking at me funny. Okay. Google Maps. Let me close with the following. In Scripture, we have a cyclical nature that's told us. It's in Ecclesiastes 3:15. It says in the King James Version, which is why I memorized when I first got saved. When I was in the business of memorizing Scripture all the time. I never forgotten. I don't like the way the TLV says it. It's a great translation, but I memorized the King James. Here's what it says. That which has been is now. That which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. In other words, you're going to be able to judge the future with the 20/20 eyesight of looking back. When you look back, you can see the future. That's what the Bible says. It's a cycle. It's a circle. Electrical engineer, 2 pi r, the circumference. Okay? There is great reward awaiting. What did Jacob get? Everything that he was supposed to get. It started with the wife. You know, the most important thing was the wife. And he got a good one. Well, we read the rest of the story and we go, Jacob. We want to tell Jacob, our father Jacob. Jacob, father Jacob. Seems to me that Leah was more. But our father Jacob, the Bible says, loved Rachel. He finally gave him two children at the end. One of them is named Joseph, and you'll read about him not long from now. And he's sent away to Egypt by none other than secret. Don't tell Rachel. Don't tell Jacob. They kill them all. So she conceives again at Migdal Eder. She conceives and gives birth at Migdal Eder to Benjamin, Binyamin, and dies. That is not near Machpelah. So she's buried somewhere in Migdal Eder. What about Leah? She's buried with Jacob, with Isaac and Rebekah, and with Abraham and Sarah in those caves that we heard about last week. So I'm just saying. Seems to me the Lord thought a lot about Leah too. So Jacob loved Rachel, and maybe the Lord loved Leah. I don't know. She had interesting eyes, the Bible said. And it's like when you say, oh, they were always trying to set me up at the university. So what she looked like? She has a nice smile. I said, oh, hell, no. That's going to be an ugly thing. I tell you what, they set me up with all the ugly ones. I got them all when I was in college. I don't trust you all no more. I'll get my own. Except that I was too shy to go get her. So, God did. Here's the last thing I want to say to you all. With the Spirit of God by our side, and the strength of the Spirit of God on our side, working with us to do what the Father and the Son want to do, we can change the course of history. We can change the course of history, and we're about to. I challenge us all to rise up. Rise up. Okay. Rise up, wall. Wall, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. I challenge us all to rise up. Okay. It's not a video. You can go. Anybody sitting? No. Fantastic. I only have one more sentence. Maybe there's a hope that we're getting out of here in the next minute. Okay? I challenge us to rise up and repeat after me. We are going to become the generation of overcomers. We're going to become the generation of overcomers. We're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our life even unto the death. We're going to follow Yeshua. We're going to win with him. And we're going to change history. Shabbat Shalom. This is Daniel. I'm going to find a video with him dancing with that group. See how young you were. You still look pretty young. Baby face. She looks exactly like she did when she first came to my congregation. She does? She does. She's a beautiful lady.
Baruch Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Amos Tzidkachem Mihaaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord God. Bread from the earth.
Hey, people have a question. Is that your kippah? Or is there a kippah underneath?